On this fifth Sunday of Easter, alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Not only is it the fifth Sunday of Easter, but as Pastor Luke said, it is also Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you celebrating Mother's Day. My mom has been worshiping with us online. Mom, happy Mother's Day. Grandma as well. So, on this fifth Sunday of Easter, the focus of our sermon is our epistle lesson from 1 Peter chapter 2. Last week we were in 1 Peter, some latter verses to like 19 to 25, and now we're in 1 Peter 2 to 10. And these verses today talk about Jesus as the, it's kind of strange, living stone. Jesus as the living stone. See, when I think of stones, and I just wanted to make sure, I don't think of Rolling Stones necessarily, Bill McCartney, who's here today. But when I think of stones, I think of there's an expression, if something is lifeless, it's stone dead. You think about stones, if you find like a petrified piece of wood, it is no longer even organic. It's, organic, but it's rock hard. You don't want your heart to be something that turns to stone because it means you're dead. When you think of stones, you think of, at least I do, death. And St. Peter says that Jesus is the living stone. It's interesting to put this idea of a stone with something living together. When we think about Jesus, Satan hates Jesus. And Satan wanted to see Jesus dead, wanted to see him stone dead. But it goes further. See, it was Jesus died on the cross, and Joseph of Arimathea, a Pharisee, went and asked for Jesus' body. And Joseph of Arimathea donated his family plot or a tomb. And it says in Matthew 27, verse 60, that it wasn't just any tomb. It was a new tomb that Joseph of Arimathea had cut in the rock, the stone. Because Jesus, when they took him down from the cross, he was stone dead. And that's just what Satan wanted. See, Satan wants death. He wants to bring destruction. He wants to take and steal away life and truth. Satan wanted to destroy the temple of God. Satan knew what he was doing. Satan wanted to destroy the temple of God, and maybe it was in one crushing blow, or maybe it was to dismantle it stone by stone. And then Satan thought that he had achieved his goal, but that's not what happened. Jesus knew how it was going to go. He trusted his Father. Jesus said in John chapter 2 that if you destroy this temple, I will raise it again in 3 days. And then later in John 2:22, it says, after he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what Jesus had said, and then they believed the words that Jesus had spoken. No longer stone dead, but Jesus is the living stone. That's what Peter, I think, looked back and remembered and shares with you and me today. See, on the one hand, when you think of a stone or rock, I'm going to say it's a negative view. It's dead. But Peter turns this on its head and he says, no, don't think of it as dead. Think of it as alive or living. And you and I here on this fifth Sunday of Easter, and we still see the white draping the cross. Pastor Luke and I are wearing our white vestments. You still see these flowers back here. We remember that our Savior, Jesus, who is the rock upon which the church is built, is living. He is raised from the dead. As I studied this more closely, I found that there were even more interesting connections. See, the temple in Jerusalem is up on a hill. Pastor Luke, you've been there. And it is said that the temple is founded on the rock. And it is a rock that is immovable, a rock that cannot be shaken. It is a rock that is the permanent hope of Israel. In the Old Testament, King David in the Psalms, in Psalm 18, and then also in a song in 2 Samuel chapter 22, King David sings the song. He says, the Lord is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. The Old Testament in the Psalms Later, it says in Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Well, I don't have a slide to show this, but I found it interesting. See, in the Hebrew, the word for stone is eben, and the word for sun is ben. They sound very similar. Eben, stone, ben, sun. The stone that the builders rejected, the eben that the builders rejected, has become the cornerstone. But Jesus himself, he knows what's going to happen. He said in the parable of the tenants, maybe you remember this, the wicked tenants, who ultimately the landowner would send his son, and the son was not only rejected but killed. The son that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And St. Peter says, as you come to Jesus, in 1 Peter 2, verse 4, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, that the stone, that the son, that was rejected by man, that Satan wanted to dismantle and destroy, is chosen and precious in the sight of God. The stone, the son that they rejected, is chosen and precious in the sight of God. Because in the end, see, the temple is not found on the mount in Jerusalem. Jesus himself is the temple. And he wasn't crushed and laid in a cold stone tomb, a cold lifeless body. But on the third day, we know that he is risen, that the temple is raised, that it is living, that he is the rock that is immovable, a mighty fortress, the hope that never puts to shame. He is the cornerstone upon which our faith, upon which our life, upon which the church is built. So then, in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, there's a pivot. So we have Jesus, who is the stone, the living stone. And then St. Peter talks to you and me. He says, you are living stones. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. But then Satan, he hates the things that God loves. He hates the church. See, Satan still seeks to destroy the church, and he would like to reduce it to a pile of rocks. And there, I think Pastor Luke has it up, and you confirm from what you could tell, I think those are the stones that are left over from the temple in Jerusalem. And Satan would squeal with glee, thinking that, oh, this temple is destroyed, but not so fast, in the words of Lee Corso on ESPN College Game Day. Not so fast, Satan. See, Satan wants a pile of rocks. You and I, who are living stones, who are built into this spiritual house, as I look around the dwelling place today, I see these stones, but they're held together by mortar. Stones in and of themselves are passive. They are lifeless. They can't do anything. These stones did not put themselves in place, and yet there is a cornerstone, Jesus, who, when connected to him, when the mortar is surrounding, there is a life. And these stones themselves, yes, the very stones, as Jesus said, cry out. And Satan, he wants a pile of rocks, and maybe it is just to try to knock a hole in the side of the church or the house. It's to knock a hole in the roof. Or maybe it's just to chip away, and over time the mortar begins to fall out, and then it's one stone that gets loose and gives way to two or three or four more. Or it's the elements that come in through this hole, and then the rest of the church wonders, is this going to fall apart? But no, that's why we're here. To hear that Jesus is the rock that Satan wanted to destroy. He's not cold and dead. He's the living stone. Because you and I are attached to him, we are living stones. But what is it that holds us together? Well, let's say the scriptures say that the mortar that holds us together is word and sacrament. It's Jesus. It's the gifts that our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gives to us. And so, regardless if you think of the architect, I guess the architect might be the Father, who has the plan, who lays things out. It's Jesus who is the cornerstone. It's the Holy Spirit, maybe, who is the mortar, who holds us together, puts us into the church. It's a wonderful thing. And so as living stones, we rejoice and cry out that the church, well, we know that it's, and we're reminded of this now during a time of quarantine, that ultimately it's not a building, that you and I, who are maybe quarantined at home, are a spiritual house held together by Jesus, that we can sing out, that we can speak out, that we can live as living stones because we're connected to Jesus, the cornerstone. But here's the thing, and Pastor Luke, you and I talked about this the other day. We know this in the church. We know this in your families. Stones don't get to decide where they're placed in the structure. Now, maybe one that's prominent up here, or maybe one that's over in the corner that's even behind one of these beams that's held up. Maybe one of these stones says, I'm not really happy to be placed next to this stone. Why would I be here? But it's the mortar. It's the Holy Spirit who gives hope and grace and forgiveness found in Jesus. And in the end, because we're connected to Jesus, who is the cornerstone, Christ the eternal Lord, we can rejoice in all things, knowing that He takes this otherwise lifeless structure and holds it together. And that, yes, even the very stones can cry out, can sing out. Well, maybe sometimes it is crying. It's crying together as we mourn together because this is not the way it should be as we have yet another funeral. It is lamenting together when we feel like maybe all hope is lost, when we wonder, where is the money going to come from? Are we going to run out of food? Is anybody in charge here? And yet we hear again, as the Holy Spirit is at work, that Jesus is the living stone, the immovable and unchanging one, because you're connected to Him, because we're connected to Him. In the end, everything's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be better than okay. That we're a part of this spiritual house. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, I think it again, it's just pure gospel. As Lutheran Christians, we like this distinction, I hope, of law and gospel. It's just pure gospel. St. Peter says that you and I are a chosen race. He says four things. A chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of God, not to be cast away, but for His own possession, His treasured possession that He bought. And you hope you know these words. If you haven't heard them before, hear them now. Not with silver or gold, but with His holy precious blood. Not with an economic recovery act, but with the blood of Jesus, the Lamb who reigns on His throne, who will return again. And then St. Peter says this, and this is part of our baptismal liturgy, that because we are built into this spiritual house with Jesus, the living stone as the foundation, that you and I, wherever God has mortared us in, mortared us in, I don't know if I like that, I'll think about that, placed us, that we can proclaim the ESV says the excellencies, the baptismal liturgy says that we can proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that as living stones we reflect the light of Jesus, the cornerstone. Martin Luther says it this way. He says that Jesus supports the whole building. He says to build, therefore, means that we all intertwine our trust and confidence and put them in Him. That because Jesus is the living stone, you and I, who would otherwise be cold and dead and lifeless, inanimate objects, have life, have certainty. We're not alone. We're held together in this spiritual house. So Jesus, the living stone, is risen. So I'll end on this fifth Sunday of Easter, where we start every Easter service. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.